and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello, and with me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz, my Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you today?
I am doing great. How are you, Jeff?
I really was looking forward to this show when we had talked about it. So tonight we're going to do a walkthrough of Epcot, but we're going to split it up. So you're going to hear this show kind of in two parts. So tonight we're going to take us through Epcot and we're going to stroll through Future World. I'm really excited. How about you?
I think it's great and a little sad in a way. We're going to come to the end of our stroll series in Walt Disney World.
But you know, I think we did save the best for last, and maybe that's just me because this is, you know, really my favorite park to go to. Aside from maybe the Magic Kingdom because of nostalgia, but Epcot has always been for me just a very unique and fun experience. And as I've gotten older, I've got to experience it in a different way. So,
and I think it's diverse, and that's a big part of it. There, you know, we always say there's something for everyone, but this park has lots of things for everybody. No matter what you like, you can find great things in this park.
Well, and I think to what you just said, it's ever changing, right? And so we'll talk a little bit about that too. But before we talk about what's been changing, take us back to where it all began. Give us the info as to the beginnings of this park and how it came to be.
You bet. So this park shares a birthday, not a birth date, with Magic Kingdom. It officially opened October 1st, 1982. And there's quite the game among Disney communities of defining Epcot. According to Imagineers, it's experimental, prototypical community of tomorrow. But many people who are regulars there and put in lots of steps will tell you it stands for every person comes out tired. And of course, cast members will tell you that it stands for every paycheck comes on Thursdays.
Something for everybody, really, is how it works out there.
It does.
But I do think when I think of Epcot and I think of the acronym that is Epcot, I think of that nostalgic video that you can see where Walt is talking about our most exciting thing we can do here in Florida. We're calling Epcot. And he says the words experimental prototype community of tomorrow. And so that's always what I've come to know it as. I haven't gotten the paycheck on Thursday. I do definitely come out tired. But when you talk about Epcot, it's really in Florida. It's one of the last things that Walt definitely had a vision for. He spoke about, he knew about. It maybe didn't turn out exactly as he had envisioned, but he definitely had his fingerprints on the beginnings of developing what we know as Epcot.
He did. And it really, as you said, creates this unique community. I will say, as you said, we're doing this show in two parts. And sometimes I do wonder on the connection of the two themes. It is very distinctly two different themes with that future world up front. And again, because it's future, we do see changes there, though we keep some of those nostalgia items. And then the back is the World Showcase with the countries, a very different look. But sometimes I look at it and I say, you know what? It's about understanding community at large, understanding our world and the different people in it and different cultures and societies.
And I do think that you cannot possibly talk about Epcot in the way that we've seen it, the way it was developed, without recognizing that the World's Fair had to have played a huge role in how Walt was designing what this was going to be, right? So the certain things that we see in Epcot that maybe had origins in the concept of the World's Fair, like it wasn't something that came out of nowhere. This was a long time coming. Some of these things were tried out in other spots and then found their way in Orlando. So very, very cool, very history laden. I love that it's Walt's fingerprints in a park that he never saw come to fruition or never even saw break ground. But I think it's a really cool bit of lineage from the company from California out to Florida.
So true.
All right, so let's talk about some of the unique factors about the park. We've done a couple of shows about festivals. So give us a little breakdown about what makes this park so unique.
So the first thing, and I will say at the moment, is it's the only park with two distinct main entrances.
Yep.
You can enter at the front into that future world. That's where buses and car services and things will take you, as well as the monorail. But you can also enter in the back, known as the International Gateway, by the countries. That's if you're arriving by sky gondola or staying at resorts like Yacht Club, Beach Club, and Boardwalk, you can walk right over. So that's its first unique thing, is the way that you can access it. I think while we talk about Disney being a wonderful school place for any homeschooler or anybody trying to make vacation educational, every park has educational items. But Epcot, it's hard to turn your head and not see something educational. In the pavilions, in the countries, they really bring education forward in such a unique way and in things that really are visionary and matter long-term in how we're all going to live in this world.
Well, and as you said, the edutainment is really kind of what it is. You know, that piece has always been what's driven Epcot. You know, for a lot of us, it was the first place we sent an email. It was the first place where we discovered the internet. There's a lot of stuff about early Epcot when I was a kid that really, really transformed my way of thinking, which at that time was very much what the idea of that park was. The question in every one of these parks is always, where do you go first? So I'm not sure if you want to do the you go left, you go right. I'm not sure if that's the conversation you want to have.
Well, it's hard to say, because one of the other unique things about Epcot that determines where I go is I call it the park of festivals. About 85% of the year, especially this year with these new dates they've got for everything, it's a festival. It's Flower and Garden, it's Food and Wine, it's Festival of the Holidays, Festival of the Arts. So that really plays a step in where we're going to go to. But just like all the parks, if you're a thrill ride person, you want to head to a thrill ride. Typically, I'll tell you to go left and do Test Track first. If that's not a ride for you, head right and hit Soaring first. But my logic behind Test Track, for anybody wondering, is if you haven't ridden that ride yet, it is a car testing simulating ground. So you're inside and testing tires and brakes and corrosion and all of those things. But it ends with a high-speed lap outdoors around the building. And so lightning often closes this ride for 40 minutes, an hour and a half. So it's a good one to get out of the way in the morning, because once it's been closed for the day, at any point, the lines get pretty long.
So that's interesting too, because you pointed out plenty of reasons as to why you could go left. Again, we're talking about making that entrance from the main entryway, right where the monorail is, not through the back entrance. I always go right. We always go right. And Test Track really never ends up on our radar as a result of that, because the way that it's currently configured, and again, things are changing. If you go over to Test Track, you're kind of on an island over there, from my perspective. There's not as much for me that I've enjoyed over in that area of the park, but everything you said is accurate, and especially in Florida.
Well, you do have young kids, Jeff, because next to Test Track is a ride that I readily admit is not a sandy ride, even in its calm version. But right next to Test Track is Mission Space.
Yeah.
Again, all about that educational component. It's another simulator of taking a mission to space. And when it started, it was pretty wild. There were a lot of people besides Sandy people that just couldn't hack it there. And so they had these different rooms where you could go and do the ride. And very shortly after it opened, it went to green mission space and orange mission space. And if you're trying to remember it when you're there, think of it like a stoplight. Green is less intense. Anybody can go on the green. If you're going to go on the orange, think twice. It's got a lot more motion to it. But that is a high motion ride, and it does have a height requirement. So I think that's what's holding you up at the moment.
Well, and it's a smart thing to do, because we went after they had instituted that. I was not there before they instituted the degrees there. So again, everything you're saying is right. I think you should pay attention to know your body before you get on the line for one of those rides, as far as Mission Space goes.
And if you're not a high activity ride person. I do suggest going over to Mission Space and going in the exit. Mm. There's almost like a gaming room. And if you've got kids that are not ready for that level of thrill, but are in the 6 to 12 or 14-ish age, they can take part in a team up on this giant screen trying to complete the space mission like a huge video game. So definitely something for everyone.
Okay, so let's move away from the left, if that's okay with you, and we'll go over to the right because, you know, when I go over to the right, one of the things that I enjoy the most, that I've always enjoyed the most, and I really wish they would bring back certain iterations of this ride, and I know we might talk about this at another point later on, but Journey into Imagination, to me, has always been a defining attraction for Epcot. Figment has always been a defining character for me as a little kid. I can't go to Epcot and not go. I just can't. When I had a former student that was working in the college program, she got placed there and I geeked out. It was unbelievable because to me, for a while there, I thought Figment was going to go away. And the reality is, as you've said on these festival shows that you've been to, Figment's all over every bit of merchandise. So I'm not so sure Figment's going to go away, but it's a classic. So if you want to start with the classics, that's not a bad place to go.
And that's it. It's a classic. And so if you're looking for a thrill, Figment's not it.
No, no.
If you're looking for an earworm, Figment's it.
100%.
Be singing the Imagination song the rest of the day.
100%. And for those of you that are DVC owners, inside the Imagination Pavilion on the upstairs, you know that DVC lounge exists there. For those of you that are listening that are not Disney Vacation Club owners, if you have friends that are, go with them. Go upstairs. Get yourself a nice complimentary beverage and some snacks and see a cool view of Epcot. It was not always a lounge, so it's a nice, cool space. Sandy, have you been up there?
I have been up there, and I have to say, besides the cool weather up there, the nice break and getting into the AC, it is a very cool view. I love looking out into the entire park from there.
Well, we mentioned DVC, so tonight we'll take the opportunity to mention DVCnews.com. For more than a decade, DVC News has provided the latest news and information regarding the Disney Vacation Club Timeshare Program and its member resorts. Visit them at DVCnews.com, where you can sign up for their email newsletter, or look for them at Facebook.com/DVCnews or Twitter.com/DVCnews. And again, even if you are not a Disney Vacation Club Timeshare owner, find someone that is and go with them, because it's a very, very cool place. We had talked about the thrills, and you had mentioned Soarin'. Soarin' is to the right, as we had mentioned. It's also in a pavilion that I just love, and it's a place where I really love to eat. So talk to me about we had talked about it, if it was starting to rain, then it might be a great place to get out of the rain. But talk to me about the entire pavilion where Soarin' is and some of the other stuff that is inside of it.
And that area, the land, does have so much. And when you look at it from the outside, it doesn't quite look like the massive building it is when I tell you everything that's in there. But it's because you're going to walk up a walkway, kind of up a little bit of a hill, and the building goes down into the ground so you can't see it. That building actually has 3 attractions and 2 restaurants and a backstage tour all inside.
Yeah, it's massive. You're right, though. It doesn't look it from the outside. It does not look massive.
But Soarin' is in there. And that is, again, we're going to talk simulators here, a hang glider simulator. And if you've got a young one who's super curious, Google for the making of Soarin'. There's some awesome videos out there that explain how the Imagineers came up with the idea of building Soarin' based on playing with an Erector set. I love to watch that video.
And for those of you that have done it, but it's been a number of years, you may have been there when it was a different film. So just pay attention to that. You can Google it. You can reach out to a travel specialist and see if your timing lines up. But one of the other things that's inside this pavilion that I just adore is Living with the Land.
It is a really good, again, let's go back to that educational component. It's a good relaxation component. Take a nice, calm little boat ride. And there in Living with the Land, they grow a lot of their own produce there. And interestingly, there's a part of that ride where you can look up. You'll see into one of the restaurants that we were just mentioning, McGarden Grill, which is a character meal with Mickey and friends. And when you're in that restaurant, you can actually look down into part of the attraction. And the reason that they interconnected them that way is when you're eating, you may be having some lettuce that was grown downstairs or other vegetables. So they are truly locally sourcing some of that food.
And just as a quick aside for that restaurant too, the restaurant itself rotates, as I think you just mentioned. So you're seeing different parts of the attraction as you go. Really, really cool and unique experience. And for those of you that have eaten downstairs in the food court style session that you're in, tremendous options. I mean, one of my favorite places to eat on property. And they've changed a couple of different the options. I miss some of the things that they've taken away, but they've replaced them with other things. Do not sleep on the food options inside of that pavilion. They are dynamic.
I will also tell you that if you are there during Food and Wine Festival, it is where one of my favorite add-ons is for the kids. They use part of that food court before they open for the lunch crowd, and they teach them how to make sushi out of different kinds of candy, and it is a blast.
That's cool. I'm going to remember that one. I haven't done that one yet. That's going to end up on my list. Listen, you had mentioned earlier when we had started the show that Epcot could stand for Every Person Comes Out Tired. So there's no doubt that when you spend some time in Walt Disney World, especially in Epcot, a lot of walking, where do you go? Where do you think a good place is to recommend when you just kind of need a break?
Well, I do think one of my favorites is actually next to Figment that we were just talking about. It is where they show Disney and Pixar shorts. Ooh. So the temptation in there is definitely to sleep. It's dark, it's nice and cool, the chairs are comfy, but don't miss this opportunity to see the shorts. I have come to love certain movies that I did not see the movie in the theater, so I missed the short, or surprise, surprise, I was late, I missed the short. This is a chance to see some of the amazing talent of the Disney and Pixar team. And always available, nice big theater, so you can get in without a big wait, which is also a key thing.
One of the places that I go when I need a break, and the nostalgia is there too, even though that the score has changed and some of the narration has changed, is Spaceship Earth. Do you find yourself there when you need a break as well?
You know, it's all the way at the front of the park, so I don't always make it there. But if the kids need a break, my other favorite spot to go, or a break from the rain, is to do the Seas with Nemo attraction. So you ride through on your clamshell.
Yep.
And then to wander that whole area with the different tanks and Turtle Talk with Crush. And you can, if you time it right, see a manatee feeding. You could stay in that pavilion easily for 60 or 90 minutes, or you could be out the door in 25.
I've also found that to be an interesting place where I've gone in and then I've come out and it's pouring. So I didn't go to get out of the rain. I got stuck in there. I was in there enjoying it. And then I found myself, oh no, it's pouring. And for those of you that use strollers, you know that you park your stroller not far away, but far enough away that you need to run to go get that thing to get it covered if you were foolish and didn't get it covered. But you're right. I like that. The Seas with Nemo is a really cool place to, especially if you've got little kids, they can kind of wander around and be immersed in that, you know, aquarium style walkway down the hall and see. It's really, really interesting. It's dynamic. And if your kids have never been a part of something like that, it definitely, definitely grabs their attention. There's a bunch of things that are changing in Future World in Epcot. And so when that kind of happens, you can be sure that we're going to do this again and kind of reference every single thing that's changing and has come. But talk to me about some of the things that maybe are coming soon.
So if you're going soon and you feel like you're missing out, I definitely recommend that you stop in the Odyssey building and go to the Epcot experience. They've got a preview of all the coming soons. So you'll get a quick glance at Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, a quick glance at Moana, at Ratatouille, lots of really interactive and immersive experiences coming. Galactic Rewind will definitely have a height requirement, be a little bit more of a thrill. But the other things that are coming are great for everybody. And I'll point it out before you, Jeff, this week, all about the intellectual property that they own that we all love. They're really creating that extra bond for us.
They are. And here's the issue, right? Because as somebody that, you know, week after week, I use that phrase, the intellectual property. They're adding these things, but some things have to go away in order for those things to happen. And so for those folks that are like me, that cling to the nostalgia of the things that they grew up learning and seeing in Future World, you have to take solace in the fact that part of the original plan for anything that Walt did was that these things will never be finished. There will always be something new. And so while I may have been the one that learned how to send email there and see the internet, my kids will learn and will see something for the first time there as well. And I have to accept that. And so sometimes that's difficult. But as you said, the things that they're creating are going to be dynamic, and a lot of it will be for everybody. So really, really exciting stuff coming to this particular part of Epcot.
And it is hard to say goodbye, but again, you know that they just up their game with every new thing that they bring us. So we know it's good stuff coming around the corner.
All right. So before we end this show and prepare for our World Showcase show that'll be airing next, what have we missed? Is there anything that you want to cover, anything you want to just mention for any folks that are listening that you think will be helpful as they plan their trip to go through Future World and Epcot?
You bet. So we talked about how this is a big festival park, and we'll talk more about the festivals in the World Showcase show, because when the festivals started, they were a World Showcase thing. But over the years, they've really crept forward. So if you're there for the Flower and Garden Festival, you'll find the Butterfly House there, which is super amazing. If you're there for any of the festivals, they also put in a great playground for the kids up in Future World. So a spot for them to play and enjoy, but also to get that energy out so that they can make it all the way through.
To your point, it's also a nice little bridge, you know, pun kind of intended, to go from Future World into the World Showcase. Like, it's a nice little changing of the scenery so that we're preparing for what's coming next. Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time tonight to break down Future World. I know that we've had a lot of discussion about what this part of the park was and part of what this part of the park will be. So I really enjoyed strolling through this part with you, and I look forward, as the changes continue to take place, strolling through with you again.
It will be awesome.
Have a great week, Sandy.
You too.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share, have them like, and subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.